Everybody here, everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and start.
This is Preston Patterson, creator and writer of New Generation Firstborn Suki, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw? Forget it.
We arrested these five on Xandar. Check out the rap sheets.
Drax, a.k.a. the Destroyer. Since his wife and family were killed, he's been on a rampage across the galaxy in his search for vengeance. Gamora, soldier, assassin, wanted on over a dozen counts of murder. Rocket, wanted on over 50 charges of vehicular theft and escape from lockup.
What the hell?
Groot has been traveling recently as Rocket's personal houseplant slash muscle.
Peter Jason Quill. He's also known as Star-Lord.
Who calls him that?
Himself, mostly. He's wanted largely on charges of minor assault, public intoxication, and fraud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know how this machine worked.
Hey, that's mine.
You son of a...
Hey, take those headphones off right now!
Themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. So we're going to let Jonathan take it away, since he's our movie guy.
All right. So we're looking at Guardians of the We've come up with a new name for it, Guardians of the blah blah blah. But we're looking at Guardians of the Galaxy tonight, and what it's about is a group of intergalactic criminals.
Intergalactic.
Yeah, that. Thank you. To work together to stop a fanatical warrior from taking control of the universe. It's directed by James Gunn, and there's a little bit more about it. The storyline on there is, after stealing a mysterious orb in far reaches of outer space, Peter Quill from Earth is now the main target of Manhunt, led by the villain known as Ronin the Accuser. To help fight Ronin and his team and save the galaxy from his power, Quill creates a team of space heroes known as the Guardians of the Galaxies to save the world.
Did he really create the team, or did it just...
He kind of found it. Yeah. He kind of found him. He didn't create it.
He was the main recruiter in the prison, if I remember correctly.
True. Yeah. Well, they just happened to go to prison all at the same time because they were after the same thing.
Yeah.
There was one person someone had to recruit. Was it Drax?
Drax was already in there.
That's true. That is true.
He's the only one not funded by him being the one who had the orb in the first place.
True.
The box office budget on this was estimated to be $170 million. The opening weekend brought in $94,320,883. And then the gross is $333,130,696.
And that is by IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get the information from for our movies.
I got to say, some of the people that they chose to play some of these characters are not small names. Like, they chose Chris Pratt, not Pat, to play Peter Quill, which was Star-Lord.
Right, he's not a small name, but he's not a big name.
He's either. Not a small name either. Yeah. And so, they chose...
Kind of, he's the middle-of-the-road type of actor, I guess.
Yeah.
And almost all of them... Well, there was a few unknowns and a few better knowns.
Vin Diesel played
right.
Groot, and he's one of the bigger names. And then there's Bradley Cooper, who played Rocket. He's another bigger name. And then Dave Bautista played Drax. And for people who don't know who Bautista is... I don't know if you guys ever watched WWE.
Is that where he's from? Yes. I knew it was a wrestler, but I didn't watch where he was from.
He wrestled for WWE for a long time, and that's where he comes from. I didn't know that he had become an actor.
I think this was his first role, or
was it?
Very close to his first role.
Okay.
Who was? And you said the lady that played Gamora was
Zoe Saldana.
Which is, again, another kind of a mid-range. She's... Yeah. Climbing a little bit, so but this movie pretty much projected them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Because wasn't it after this movie that Chris Pratt played in Jurassic World?
Yep, it was.
So
this movie made Chris Pratt's career.
Yeah,
pretty much, because they took a no-name Marvel property and had fun with it and made it a smash hit, which I don't think very many people were expecting.
Oh no,
and his name became a household name.
The budget, I mean, the opening weekend on this movie was not a small... I mean, it's not big compared to some of the other movies, but it's not a small budget.
Oh, no.
I mean, $94 million, that's... We've reviewed smaller movies that people have, you know, somewhat kind of liked and somewhat kind of not liked, but... For this budget, I think that they have enough money to make a spinoff, which I think...
Oh, that's already in the
works. Yeah, they're working on that. So
this is part of Phase 2 of the Marvel plan. Phase 1 was getting the Avengers together. Phase 2 is introducing the sci-fi universe and continuing with the heroes. Phase 3, I think, starts with Doctor Strange with the mystical universe.
And isn't Doctor Strange coming out in 2016 or...
It's either 16 or 17. I know Cumberbatch is playing Doctor Strange, which looks good.
Yeah. Yep.
I've seen the image in his costume. It's like, it looks good.
So I'm looking at the back of this movie case, and I got to say, some of the design aspects on it is kind of awesome. And I lost my train of thought. Nothing new. Nothing's changed.
Unless you had your ticket.
Sung by Andrew Lubman. No.
Yeah. some of the effects.
Put that out the end now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Some of the effects are really, really good. And from here, you're looking at the spaceship, and that, I mean, they kept on portraying the spaceship was kind of like a piece of crap. Gamora kept on saying that, you know, it was a piece of...
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, he kept it a pigsty.
Yeah.
I think that's what she was commenting on. He kept it a pigsty, but the Moray, I think it was Moray.
Maybe.
Was that the fighter's name? It was actually modern, because all the pirates had those classes of ships, or... The Warhawk or Warbird, that was the fighter version of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it was more of he kept it a pigsty inside. Because he's a... And we got to go back to the very beginnings. This Chris Pratt's character is...
Star-Lord.
Yeah. I can't remember what his actual name was in the movie.
Quinn or Quill?
Peter Quill.
Quill.
You know, he was this Earth kid.
Yeah.
Whose mother is pregnant, and come to find out she's... Was
isn't she? I mean,
half alien, half human relationship, and he's the offspring of it. And dad came and basically sent this one pirate to find him and to protect him because his mother was dying.
She wasn't pregnant. She dying? She was dying. She wasn't pregnant. She was dying.
Well, True. She was dying of cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
She had to be pregnant at one time.
Right. It was an intergalactic relationship. Yeah. So, and that, I think, will be brought out more in the second movie. But what was, I think, not the acting per se, which helped tremendously
because
the actors did great, but it was the music that they used. Because he was taken up from the mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
So and yeah, that's why they have all that music in there.
And as if you watched the trailer on this, you'll notice that in one of the scenes, he says, "Hey, you're wearing my headphones." And he was very, very, very protective of those headphones and his CD player.
Yep.
So, I mean...
Well, that was his only link to his mother.
Yeah, that was his only link to his mother. But throughout the whole movie, it was Richard's era of music.
Pretty much. It was kind of right around where I was growing up. But the fun part was that this was the only tape.
Yeah.
It was a mixtape that his mom made for him. And then she gave him a present before he got kidnapped and she died, which leads directly into basically the sequel.
Right.
Because he opens that present because he's been too scared to open it all this time. But at the end of the movie, he does open it.
And it's
another mixtape. Yeah. So that was kind of cool to say, okay, we got another movie coming.
Yeah. The one thing that I really liked is when towards the end of the movie where he plays a mixtape and Groot is still growing. And Groot's over here dancing, and they think that he's not moving. And every time they look at him, he's just like...
freezes. That's Drax doing that, yeah. And the actors did great. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You said Zoe did
Zoe Gamora? Saldana was Gamora.
She did a great job with that. Bradley with Rocky Raccoon stole the show.
Yes, he did. Yes,
along with Vin Diesel with Groot. Both of those characters...
Yeah.
I think Rocket Raccoon stole a little bit more than Groot, but both of them together stole the whole movie. Even though Pratt held his own, but in the scenes they were in was hilarious.
The one person who I didn't think, I mean, I felt like he got screen time, but I don't think that he was memorable was Batista. Because
Drax?
Yeah, because I didn't see him. He wasn't involved in too many scenes. I mean, he was involved in some scenes, but I didn't think he was involved in that many scenes. I don't know. Maybe that was just me.
You had a comment, Logan?
He was. He got into all the other stuff. Like, well, at least one scene where all of them got it was the gambling place.
At the gaming place. Yeah, he did get into that. But Drax was a character where he was quiet.
Yeah.
And he didn't talk a whole lot. And a lot of stuff went over his head because I don't know if it was just his species or just him himself was more of a simple person. So a lot of the stuff kind of went over his head, or it was just lost in translation because we're dealing with different races. True. And so a lot of the stuff that was hilarious was just stuff that was lost in translation.
That's actually a good point.
So it was, I mean, he played the role good for what they wanted him to do. So it fit him, but you know, I think we're kind of jumping all over the movie.
Yeah.
So apologize for that, but I think almost everybody's watched this movie by now.
Yeah.
It's a great show. If you haven't, go watch it, if nothing else, for the music alone.
Right.
But I think the funnest scene I had was where they were all in the Moray. I think it's Moray, his main ship. And he's talking to him like, you know, we got to do this, you know, save one for the team type speech.
Right.
And they all get up and kind of put their hand in the middle. The Rocket kind of stands up at the end and says, "I guess you'd want me to blankety blank stand up too for this idiotic thing." It's like, oh, great. That's perfect. Because he was calling out tried and true trope of a show where all the heroes have a little breaking apart, then they come back together and make fences, and we got to go get them. And he kind of called that out and saying, you know, this is kind of BS.
Yeah.
Well, so that was kind of fun.
The one thing that I knew that Rocket was going to steal the show, it was at the very beginning when they were making the escape. He was like, "Steal this, steal this. Oh, steal his leg."
And they go and steal the leg,
and they're like, here's the leg. What you need the leg for? Oh, I didn't need the leg for anything. I just wanted to see if he would steal it.
Yep. True.
I think it was, I wanted to see the other guy hop around afterwards, too.
Yeah, they went at the end. He asked for an eye, somebody's eye.
And
yeah.
They were like, what do you need the eye for? Do not steal the eye.
Or what, when they were, or when it was.
That was the second part of the escape, wasn't it?
No, that was towards the end. That building was, stuff, the yeah. big weapon, the big gun.
Yeah, that was during the big battle, so.
Because he was playing, because, mm-hmm. and then I loved it when Pratt's character comes in and Rocket's kind of scooting stuff around. Just put that stuff up and all that. And it finds out it's explosives and he goes half ballistic and Rocky just looks at us like, you're just no fun or killjoy or something like that. And just, oh, God, yes. Rocket's the man.
And like when I found out that Bradley Cooper played him, I was just like, oh, really? He did an extremely well job voicing this character.
But
and of course, Bradley Cooper has made quite a name for himself. I mean, from the Hangover movies to more serious movies like American Sniper.
I don't know what all he's done, to be honest.
But pay basically no attention to anything.
You don't pay attention to people's names?
Yeah. You just enjoy the movies. You're just one of them. Go with the flow. Enjoy the movies. Oh, this person played that?
Yeah. But I'll probably
forget it in a day or so.
Yeah.
As some people are like that. Yeah. They just watch the movies or read the books and enjoy it at the moment. Mm-hmm. This is one, like I said earlier, that a lot of fans were like, I don't know if this is going to work. This could be Marvel's first flop under Disney. And it proved them wrong.
I thought the way that they did it in the way that they put it together throughout the whole movie was extremely well put together. And some of the fighting scenes and
those are good.
Some of the, you know, space battles that they had, those were really good.
True.
And I felt like when their characters first met, I thought that they melded it together really well. And that's something that people have not been able to do.
True. And the chemistry between them all.
And I thought that there was extremely good chemistry between all these characters when they were playing.
When they were trying to capture Quill.
Yep.
True.
Or the little round orb, whichever you...
The Infinity Stone. Yeah, the Infinity Stone.
Which leads to the bigger thing, which is, of course, is Thanos getting the Infinity Gauntlet eventually, which will take place in future Marvel movies. The one thing that I have a little bit of a gripe about, or kind of like, what? And I can't remember the guy's name. I don't remember the actor's name. But he was the pirate that went and captured Quill at the beginning to keep him safe, supposedly.
The guy with his father.
With a musical arrow. He whistled. Needle. And he whistled to control it. No.
No.
This was the blue guy, pirate captain. The pirate captain that had that arrow or musical instrument that he whistled and controlled it in its flight path. That one I was kind of like, well, how could you control that thing by just whistling?
That you could go ahead and say and just, yes, that's fine, but you also have to be aware that those guys should probably shoot at him instead of just standing there as they're all getting slaughtered too.
True. True. And that's one of the scene where, you know, yes, this is a sci-fi movie. All belief is suspended, but this one was especially suspended for that particular one. So that was kind of, okay, well, we can live with that. We'll go on. Other than that, this is one of those where it was kind of like it brought fun back to the adventure movie. And I always associated with Star Wars when I first saw Star Wars back in 77, where it was fun. Mm-hmm. And Guardians of the Galaxy made a fun adventure show again. And it wasn't a comedy. It just had comedic elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really enjoyed it. Plus all the music. Oh, the music's great. If you get the soundtrack to it or the songs from it, that's an album we haven't picked up yet. But I have a feeling we'll be picking it up at some point in time.
Have they actually done an album on that? They did use just songs that had already been out.
They did produce an album, but been kind of lazy on picking it up. That's the way I am sometimes.
Wait,
plus no money.
Was his name Kraglin or something like that?
Possibly.
Okay, because if that was his name, he was played by Sean Gunn.
So Sean Gunn might have been the pirate captain.
Yeah.
If Kraglin was the pirate captain, maybe.
Yep. And then, of course, we said the big baddie was Thanos, but he really wasn't involved per se, but he was a fixture. The big, big baddie was Ronan.
Yep.
And he's the from the Silver Surfer myths.
He's not the big, big baddie. He's the local big baddie.
Right.
But he was a villain in this movie.
Yeah, local big baddie.
And then the two sisters. Gamora was actually one of the sisters sent out by Thanos. Then there was another one.
Nebula, played by Karen Gillan.
Who is a Doctor Who alum. She played the redheaded companion to
the
Eleventh Doctor.
Oh, she played...
Amy Pond?
Amy Pond?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
That was Amy Pond. Gotta forgive me. Sometimes I gotta stretch back into my memory for Doctor Who stuff. We do watch it, but it's usually just one viewing and on we go. So there was a Doctor Who alone with that. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy the movie through and through.
I thought the name sounded familiar. I was just like... How do I know that name?
Oh, you don't recognize her at all because she's shaved bald.
Well, yeah.
Blue skinned.
They have the bald cap on her and everything.
Oh, she's dedicated to her craft. She shaved her head.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine anybody.
Maybe.
Well,
Some actors are, though.
I guess Britney Spears shaved her head. Yeah, and
some actors are pretty dedicated.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe she did. I don't know.
What was it?
So she shaved her head, maybe.
Maybe
she
just wore a bald cap.
Well, I remember Demi Moore did it for G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
If you ever watched that show back in the
'90s
or early 2000s, she shaved her head for that movie. So some actors do it.
Yeah.
But I just had fun. But this is my type of movie, and I'm going to have fun with this type of movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you have any comic book fans or anybody following Marvel, of course they're going to want to see this. It's part of that continuing story. For No Name, it did a great job.
Yeah.
I think that'll probably about wrap it up.
Okay. That
works. Unless anybody else wants to bring out any other points?
No.
And like I said, if you haven't already seen it, go out, pick it up and see it. Libraries will have it. You can check it out there. Pick it up for your own collection. It's a couple of years old now. It's probably not in the cheap bins, but it's probably in the mid-range pricing by now. So it's pretty
actually
fun.
Over at Target, they're like $5 right now. So
nice. Oh, really? So they have hit the cheap bin already.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. So
that just means it's cheaper.
True. But this is a fun movie. If you've picked up all the other Marvel stuff, you'll want to pick this up too. Well, we're kind of hit miss at our house. We kind of depends on budget stuff.
Yeah.
But we've had fun here. Hope everybody's had fun out there listening to us. We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. We will see you at the next showing. Bye.
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 I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thing.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.